Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show, The Big Show, the most important and critically acclaimed podcast that is recorded in one of our vehicles. And today we're recording in the big, white, gigantic, size of a whale van that's called the Stealth Van. And don't blame us. It's like written on the side, Ram Stealth.
It says so in letters as big as my hand, so it must be true.
It must be very stealthy. Although we were parked at the discount warehouse store earlier today, and it was real easy to glance across the parking lot. Oh, there we are. There's no missing where you put this thing. Anyway, welcome to the show, The Big Show. Today we're going to talk about something near and dear to some people's hearts, not necessarily mine, snobbery, especially in the case of firearms snobbery.
They don't consider it that, of course.
No, but it is. And I've always found it an interesting facet of our human adventure to see people being snobbish about inanimate objects, especially ones they don't even own. I think there's something about it that is an integral thing in human nature about wanting to put down or disrespect something that is different than the choice you made. I'm just the generic you, not any person in particular. You know, there's maybe a desire to uplift yourself by putting other people down. And again, this is a generic you. And I think a lot of that is where we get snobbery from. I may be wrong, but I am not a gun snob. I'm not a snob in virtually any way that I can think of. I'm sure there's a couple of things I'm snobby about, but there's very few. And usually there's a very good reason. Now, I'm somewhat picky in a lot of areas, but there's a huge difference between picky and snobbery. Like a picky, for example, I make some really good, I would think you would call it really good, baked Brussels sprouts.
That's true.
But I hate Brussels sprouts. I make them very well. I serve them to her. This is not snobbery. This is pickiness. There's a difference.
There you go.
Snobbery would be me saying, oh, Brussels sprouts, that's hog food. Who would eat that? That would be snobbery. So I wanted to talk a bit about snobbery. This is not a podcast that really has any social redeeming value, whatever. It's just something I thought would be interesting to talk about. Goodness, I've been coughing all day. I've not got the COVID. It's just been... Or the allergies. I just took the allergy pills just a few minutes ago. It's not a core subject to us, but I just thought it would be fun. So, gun snobbery. What do you think if you're a gun person, when I say the words High Point firearms? Now, some of you out there are kind of going to nod your head and go, okay, yeah. Some of you will be going, well, not my cup of tea, but I suppose if you didn't have any more money. Some of you will be crossing your fingers in front of you as if I had just started talking about Dracula invading your house and going, no, no, evil, evil, wrong, wrong, get away from me, get away from me. And the truth is, none of the above, all of the above, there is no truth. It's a company, they've been in business for many years, they've made a lot of firearms, they've sold a lot of firearms, and frankly, most of them are still fully functional and working. So there you have it. The gun snobs out there love nothing better than to go on the internet and ramble on and on and on about the evils of guns like those put out by High Point. And interestingly, the true snobbiest of the snobs have never actually shot a High Point. They've never owned, obviously, a High Point.
Well, of course, they wouldn't.
Well, they wouldn't, because they're snobs. Now, Truth in Advertising. I have owned, and you can read my reviews on several of the high points that I have owned on 3BY. I've owned several. In fact, I think maybe the best gun review I've ever written in my life is on the High Point Firearms 9mm carbine. I think that's the best gun review I've ever written, and I encourage you to go read that, because it's a very interesting firearm for what it is. It is undoubtedly an accurate, reliable, inexpensive gun. And I just pretty much defy anybody to argue against that, because it just is an accurate, reliable, inexpensive firearm. Having said that, it is, one, a High Point firearm. Two, it does have some serious drawbacks. And three, it's the single ugliest gun that's been invented. It's ugly. Keeping the podcast PG rated, it's fugly. I mean, it is. It's plain. It's just bad. But there is one redeeming value to its ugliness. The current generation, excuse me again, has the solid distinction of being a lot less ugly than the first generation was.
Well, there you go. They had nowhere to go but up.
Oh, my goodness. The first generation was commonly called the Planet of the Apes gun, because it looked just like the guns they used in Planet of the Apes. It was not an attractive firearm. But when you pull back the charging handle, you aim it, and you fire it, the gun goes bang every single time. And the bullets rip one big hole in the paper, because they go on target every single time. So, you know, there's that.
That's what you
gun mean. Snobs just dismiss it as junk. Just junk. It's just junk.
The gun snobs remind me of a trip we once made to a mountain biking trail. We got there to this mountain biking trail, took our rather battered old bikes off the back of the car.
Good bikes, but they've been used.
There were some guys there in fancy team gear, beautiful, expensive mountain bikes.
Gorgeous bikes.
On tops of their cars. And they were hanging out outside by their cars, pointing out things on their bikes and talking about their bikes with each other. So we pulled our bikes off. We went. We rode. Hour and a half, 2 hours later, we come back, start loading the bikes back up on the back of the car to go home.
It's kind of a muddy day, so, you know, we were kind of muddy.
These guys are still there, in the same spots. The bikes are still sparkling clean. All that fancy, bright team gear is still sparkling clean. And they are still talking about the various merits of their bikes and how they're superior to the other things they chose not to get. I mean, it's one thing to love what you got. It's another thing to just take what you can afford and be okay with that. But at least shoot the dang things, will you? At least use them what they're meant to be used for. Spend more time using them than running your mouth about them is my suggestion.
I'm a car guy. I'm an unabashed car guy. I love cars. But, you know, I'm a car guy to a point. I'm a car guy for cars that you can just take out and run the living snot out of them. I mean, run the things. I'm talking about blow the tires off the back. I'm talking, you know, do all kinds of ridiculous stuff with them. I'm not a kind of guy who looks at a beautiful, gorgeous $1 million Bugatti or McLaren that I know won't get 10,000 miles of worth of driving in its entire lifetime. And the snobby car guys are all about these McLarens and Bugattis. Oh, it can do this. No, it can do that. Well, yeah. Okay, that's great. But let's take that McLaren out, and I'll run it against my 2006 Mustang GT, and I'll whoop its ass, because I'm going to be the only person in the lane running. You ain't going to come out there with that McLaren and run me. Why? Because you're a car snob, and I'm not. Besides the Mustang, and you have a decent shot at that McLaren in a quarter mile.
Yeah.
It's not stock. It's a supercharged. I don't even want to get into it. Yeah. But that's the difference, you know? There's guys out there that have got a friend of mine. He posted a picture last night of a Ferrari that some guy had made into a limousine. It was on at one of those auctions. Guy converted a late 80s Ferrari into a limousine. And he asked, what do you think? You think this was a dictator that's been overthrown's car, or you think it was just some guy's project? And I responded, absolutely some guy's project. And it was some guy's project because dictators who are overthrown actually use their limousines. And nobody who has a late 80s Ferrari does anything but look at that car as the growing pool of oil and coolant creeps out slowly from under the motor. Because that's all you can do with one. But yet people will, oh, Ferrari, Ferrari, Ferrari. They can't even drive to the grocery store in the thing without fouling the plugs. Come on. Guns are the same way. That's, yeah, I don't like snobs in most cases, but gun snobs, they really drive me nuts. You know, the high points are a perfect example, but they're not the only example.
Actually, one thing that I see a lot is people looking down their noses at anything less than a .44 Magnum caliber or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they don't have enough stopping power. I'm like, you know, honestly, the only situation I see myself actually shooting somebody is they're coming for me. I don't have to shoot through steel doors to defend myself. I just have to keep soft, squishy people who are bigger than, stronger than me from being violent against me. So, yeah, I'm going to use a little Glock 9mm that is easy to handle and pleasant to practice with. And easy to clean, so I'll actually shoot the dang thing. And if I ever do need it in dead earnest, it will go bang. And that's what I need.
Bang up to 15 times.
Yeah. I'm a small woman. I sometimes have to get custom bands for my watches, because standard size bands for unisex watches are bigger than my wrists are. I don't need to be shooting a .44 or anything.
No, but a polymer 9mm is just what the doctor ordered. Now, we're a little snobby at some point in time when people try to, but that's not really more snobby. It's more just a, you hit a limit. I think that if you go with anything really for self-defense less than a 380, you're really just not choosing the best horse to ride, because there is a point in time when the impact of the bullet really isn't enough. But certainly a 380 is, especially a self-defense round, and certainly a 9mm is. And when you start getting into the 32 ACP, you know, there have been a lot of politicians over the years who have been ended by a 32 ACP. Now, I'm not positive, but if I recall correctly, World War I was started by a 32 ACP. I do believe that that is what the Serbian assassin used. I have to check that for sure, but I'm pretty sure.
Not that he was a model of efficiency.
No, but it got the job done. He did kill two people with the thing.
Yep.
I mean, anyway.
There's a difference
between
defining what the real characteristics needed to do the job are and wanting to hit that bar. And then raising the bar even higher because it looks cooler when you jump over it.
Right. Now, debating between a 44 Magnum, a 45, and a 357 Magnum as to which, yeah, that's just, sure, that's fun. Everybody likes to do that kind of stuff. But trying to compare something like that to self-defense for like a 22? No. There's a whole, it's a different scale. But that's not snobbery. Saying a 22 is a bad choice for a self-defense handgun, that's not snobbery. That's not what we're talking about. Because we're not saying, no, that Ruger LCR 22 is a bad choice. Because it's a Ruger LCR. No. That's not what we're saying. It's the 22 is a bad choice. And that's just simply because it's a rimfire. And rimfire is just not as reliable. So stuff like that, not what we're talking about. What we're talking about, though, is like, I have several guns that I fire regularly that I like that other people would stick their nose up. Now, I have High Point. I've had several C9s over the years. I have one now. It's never been fired. I'm not really sure why I keep it. It's, I don't know. I'm not really sure why I bought it. But
me
I do
either.
Have one.
Hmm? Me either.
So get rid of the thing. I've got a gun. You know, I've got guns that I love that are, you know, people will just bash because they've read bad reviews on it or somebody had a bad issue with it over the internet, you know? And then I have guns that, you know, I hate that other people love. I'm not a Kel-Tec fan. I've got one Kel-Tec, and it's okay. But every other Kel-Tec I've ever had, I haven't been happy with. And it's not that I'm a snob against Kel-Tec. It's just I've just not had good luck with the brand. The PF9 is a perfect example of a gun that I would never own another one of. And there's nothing wrong with the gun. It just didn't work for me. The PF9 is a firearm that I would fire. It's a little 9mm pocket gun. And the gun would fire. It would shoot accurately. The bullet would trace exactly where I was aiming it. The recoil was handleable. It was very uncomfortable. But most of those really small 9mm, you're not going to have it. It's not a comfortable gun to shoot. But this one had a quirk that I just was a non-starter for me. When I gripped the thing and I squeezed it to fire, my thumb, where it came to rest in the natural firing position, always hit the magazine release. So I'd shoot the gun, and every time I'd shoot it, the magazine would drop free.
That's not a good operational feature.
No.
But in somebody else's hands, it would
Yeah,
in
somebody else's so... hand who doesn't hold the gun the same way, it's fine. Now, interestingly, with that gun, there's a lot of people who have that problem. I happen to be one of them. She never did.
No.
It fit her hand fine. She didn't like the gun because she didn't like the fierce recoil. Which, you know, that's fine. She just doesn't like that style of gun, that really small 9mm.
Yeah.
That's fine. She actually likes a full-size gun. She likes her Glock 19.
There's a difference between snobbery and preferences.
And when she shoots a 22, she shoots the full-sized M&P 22 because it just fits her hand better. Whereas when I shoot a 22, I'll shoot the Taurus. A lot of people hate Taurus, but off the top of their head. I shoot the Taurus TX 22, 19, whatever the newer one is. I forget the number off the top of my head. You know, sometimes I buy guns just to play with them, especially if they're cheap. I recently bought...
Almost always, to be honest with you.
Is that the cheap?
No. That to play with them.
Oh. I haven't bought
Our
a gun in a long time.
Our needs have been met.
I haven't bought a gun in a long time.
That's true.
Like, one this year?
I'm not criticizing. It's all right. I'm just saying our needs
have
been met for a while. I've
sold a lot more guns this year than I bought.
Yep.
But anyway, I'm paring down the Mosin collection a little bit. It was getting to be more than three gun cases worth. That's getting to be a lot. But anyway, I bought a Sky, which is an American-made, very inexpensive. Comes in all kinds of really cool colors. I bought it in a really cool color. I'll do a gun review of it once I've shot enough rounds through it to make sure it's actually working this time. Yeah, actually working this time. Yeah, that Sky's gone back to the factory, and they replaced a whole bunch of it. When you get a gun, and the first thing that happens is you start getting failures to fire and jams of various different varieties, you know something isn't right. I mean, you shot that gun. You could not get
three rounds in a row
out of it. So it was something wrong with the gun. I just got it back. Now, a lot of people hate that gun for a particular reason, and it's got a quirk. And the quirk is when you pull the trigger, because it's a single action, you pull the trigger, like double action. It's the one where you pull the trigger and it goes bang. I always get those messed up. You pull the trigger back, it goes bang. But the reset on the thing is so long. You have to basically reset it all the way back to the full extent of the trigger. They should have fixed that. It should be a half pull reset. But that's my one complaint with the gun so far, other than I had to send it back to the shop.
I don't like those because they impair my accuracy. My fingers aren't very long, and I have to shift my hand a little bit often on those to get a reset.
It's not the world's lightest trigger pull, although I find it interesting when I measured the trigger pull when I got it back from the factory. The trigger pull went from 15 pounds to 9.
It had a new trigger group. So
yeah,
that
whole
new
trigger. But, I mean, they really, whatever they did, they lightened up the trigger pull way a whole lot. I think, of course, 15 is a lot. Anywho. But that's the Sky. A lot of people hate the gun without ever having fired it just simply because it's cheap. So, you know, gun snobs. Anyway, this was just kind of a, hey, we hope you listen, you know, whatever. I've said pretty much what I wanted to say about gun snobs, so anything you want to add?
Your mountain bikes work better if you get them off the top of your car.
And your guns work better if you shoot them.
There you are.
Bye.